We're talking about the life of a Christian, and in order to begin, we have to set the stage. What is it to be a Christian? What does that mean? So before we go into the gospel, the epistle reading from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 8, or verse 9 here. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, what do we do every single week? We confess together a historic statement of the Christian faith. That is intentional in our worship here at First Lutheran. Why? Because we want people to confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. For with the heart one believes and is justified. All right, so what does that even mean? We're justified, right? What are we justified from? Sin and death, right? Just like a judge clears somebody for an offense that they do, maybe a traffic ticket, you know? I haven't gotten a ticket recently, praise the Lord, right? Preachers are really bad about speeding when we have to get to places. But we have a sentence that is given to us. We deserve death as a result of our sin. But our heart is justified through Jesus. He is the ultimate one that has paid for our crime. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Right? How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Right? So, again, at some point, everyone in here, or the vast majority, have been baptized. Again, if you haven't been baptized, no shame. We can make that happen. I'm still trying to acquire my horse trough, okay? I need somebody with a bigger truck to go with me to Tractor Supply to pick it up for my adult and teenage baptisms. But we have a few in the works. The point here is that we are baptized. So I was baptized as a baby at Union Presbyterian Church, right? And then confirmed a Methodist, and I've told you guys those two churches came together. Beautiful. At some point, all of us were baptized. Then at some point, I pray that all of us have confessed with our mouths that Jesus is the Lord of our life and what that means. Because we can't get to the gospel reading until we understand that. There is. We as Lutherans have a hard time, I think, historically, talking about salvation and being saved. We like to not use the word choose, but to acknowledge what Jesus has done for us. But really, I'm not here to discuss vocabulary. Regardless of if you want to acknowledge or accept Jesus, at some point, we got to do one of the two, right? We have to know that Jesus is the Lord of our life. Which gets us into the gospel text, right? So we have Jesus in the desert. He was tempted in the desert by Satan. Now I want us to we could just stop right there. One, Jesus was tempted. Why? Because we confess what? That he was fully human and fully God. He was tempted like any of us are tempted. Did he sin? No. It was over to overcome that. I'm sorry, I don't have the willpower. Probably none of us have the willpower to not, at occasion, sin. That's what we believe. We can't not sin. But Jesus didn't. But he was tempted by the devil. So two, that tells us that the devil, Satan, is real. Right? And I know, I feel like I'm the crazy preacher that talks about the devil all the time. But the more I do this job, this vocation, I have been affirmed the real presence of evil. the real presence of the devil. Because every time the church, capital C and lowercase c, tries to do the work of God, the devil is there in the background trying to destroy it. This is the hard part. And then I look at churches. We all know the situation going on in the Ukraine. And as a denomination, we support a couple missionaries over there. And they were sharing photographs of these missionaries and pastors in the Ukraine who overnight their churches have been destroyed by bombs. And they are meeting underground in basements having church, some of them right now. Right? Satan hasn't destroyed their ability to praise the Lord Almighty. But yet I think back in my history, I said, man, I've canceled church for hurricanes. Was that the right thing to do? You know? And we can go into a very political conversation about COVID and canceling church and all this kind of stuff. We won't do that. But the point here is, this morning through our gospel text, we learn what it is by not saying WW, what would Jesus do? WWJD, but what did Jesus do? He gave us an example in today's text. There are six things that he taught us, but I have very shorter points this morning of the six, but there are six. The first is that Jesus put on the armor of God, right? So we learn this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on all God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. The full armor of God. Have we done that, friends? And we see that Jesus is doing that in these verses. First, by telling us that our life isn't of this world. Our life is not of this world. And Jesus replied in verse 4, it is written, people won't live only by bread. All right. So first, I'll get serious in a minute, but who loves bread? Everybody, right? So my favorite bread is the Texas Roadhouse Rolls, right? Tom, you know what I'm talking about? I've seen you guys there. I can eat two, three baskets, probably wouldn't even think about it. I love the rolls, the butter on them. It's all good, right? When I was a kid, we used to go to Golden Corral. I wouldn't go there now, but I love their rolls. They had great rolls. As a diabetic, that's probably not a good thing, but I love bread. And Jesus tells us we don't live by bread alone. Now, what is he really getting to? As human beings, sometimes we do what we always do, what we like. It's very hard to do what we don't like. So I know deep down inside, if I eat two baskets of rolls, I'm not going to get the nutrients that I need to sustain life. I'm going to get a lot fatter, right? And my sugars are definitely not going to cooperate. But versus the steak, you know, that is actually decent for me. But humanity always chooses to do what feels good as our first desire, right? And so Jesus is telling us that there is a distinction between the flesh, human desire, and the spirit, what God desires for our lives. God does not desire for all of us to eat nothing but rolls at Texas Roadhouse, okay? Though they're good. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ brought us back from the dead, from our human desires, from the inability to only choose the sin. Once we hear the word of God, we're able to, in our head at least, say, you know, that's wrong. Or that's right. What would Jesus do if he was here? What did he do? Right? And the second thing is, we live a life of faith. We live a life of faith as believers of Jesus. Right? There's a certain presence about us as believers of Christ. That when Jesus is questioned by the devil, and Jesus always responds to Satan by using God's word, right? So that tells us as believers, again, right? We are supposed to know the word. So when those difficult times and challenges come up, we go straight to God's word. It's not what I feel. It's not what other people have told me. It's living in faith to God's holy word. John 6:63 states, "The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life." The word breathes life. Psalm 119:50 states, "Your promise receives me. It comforts me in all my troubles." And then Jeremiah 15:16. "And when I discovered your words, I devoured them. They are my joy and my heart's delight. For I bear your name, O Lord God of heavenly armies." See, the word of God satisfies and fills our faith. Because again, in life, in those challenging moments, whatever they may be, in the moments of joy as well, we can go to God's word and it speaks to us now. Not just the people that lived 2,000 years ago. This is God's word. Romans 10:17 tells us, "So faith comes from hearing, and that is hearing the good news about Christ." Now, you don't have to be a trained pastor to preach the word, right? I do it here at the church. But what about you all? Who have you proclaimed Jesus to this week? It is a little bit. It's evangelism. I get it. Now, I shared this story. Again, I'm not saying names or locations. But it hurt my heart this week that I saw, again, some conversations of people seeking truth. Seeking truth in their lives. They wanted to know, how do I have hope? And they were talking about seeking out mediums, seeking out fortune tellers, and all this right here in Dundalk. And this isn't the first time. I'm trying not to eavesdrop. But at some point, the opportunity is going to present itself after seeing my face a few times to be able to proclaim Jesus to them. Because that's the one that bears truth. Not all this other nonsense. But the world is telling people that's where they find truth. That truth can't be found here in the church. And that's heartbreaking. But guess what? God needs us to verbalize that. Could you just imagine? And I posted this on our Facebook group. How many of you guys invited somebody, don't raise your hand, invited somebody to church this week? And this is not about Pastor Blue trying to fill the pews. But truly, people need to hear the word, the gospel, for them. That's what this is about. This is what Sunday morning is about. And it's also to build up the body of believers, Ephesians chapter 4, that my job as pastor is to equip the saints, that's you all, for the ministry of his gospel, right? All right, third point here, a life of praise to God. And Jesus answered him in verse 8, "It is written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Now there's 2 points we're going to take from that. We're going to talk about the first one here. You will worship the Lord your God. Again, the devil promised Jesus all the kingdoms of the earth. All you have to do is bow down and worship me. And Jesus simply responds, what? No, I'm not doing it. Do we have that willpower? Because we read it, I believe, Again, it was in one of our other readings. Humanity is obsessed out there in the world, power and control, and what is it for me that I get out of it? But Jesus tells the devil, no, I'm not interested. I worship the Lord my God alone. Again, Matthew 8:36. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? That's what I've asked myself many times. What good is it? What good is it to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? You can go a lot of different directions with that, can't you? Maybe you know somebody personally who seems they got it all together. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they had your dream job at some point. Maybe they had the house that you wanted to have. It's not only about money, right? But they didn't know Jesus. They didn't know Christ. I've known some really good people, humble, kind, loving people, but they didn't know Jesus. And so they are still guilty of that sin. Again, what did Jesus do? That second part of that verse is, and only, you will worship the Lord your God and only serve him. Now we've talked about this, having Jesus as the Lord of your life. That means we surrender it all to him, don't we? We don't keep a little bit for us. We give our first fruits to Jesus. We give our whole life to him. He's our true master. Think about this. Now, this was before my era, I get it. But during Vietnam, right? They had a draft. And all these young men, it was horrible. Drafted all these young men overseas. Many died for it. Going through the Vietnam Memorial and seeing name by name. Well, friends, all of us have been drafted by Jesus to do his work. You understand the parallel here? They were willing to die for their country. We have to do the same for God. And again, I look at those people over there in the Ukraine doing just that. Doing just that. Those pastors and church members, they could die for proclaiming God. But they're willing to stay there through it all. And I ask myself, if that happened here, I mean, I'm a target, right? Would I be willing to die, or would I want to run away? That's a really hard question. And it, without being in that situation, it's hard to respond. How are we serving God alone in our jobs and our vocations? Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, whatever your tasks may be, work from the soul. That is, put in your very best effort as something done for the Lord and not for men. All we do, whatever job, task, parents, grandparents, whatever your thing is that you do it for the Lord, right? He's your boss. He's the one overseeing you, all right? And we live a life of humility. And Jesus answered, it's been said, don't test the Lord your God. Now, I want you to think about the poor Israelites that wandered around for 40 years in the desert, because every time the Lord their God would say, do this, they wouldn't. How many times in the Bible did God make it clear what they needed to do and they chose not to? Or they complained about it? They complained. Are we a bunch of complainers? Are we? I think so. Do we say yes the first time? No. We got to weigh our options and think about it. But we're supposed to be just obedient and say, you know what, God? You say so, I'm going to do it. Now again, Pastor Blue's just as guilty. Not saying I'm not, but we live a life of humility being humble before the Lord our God and saying, yes, God, it is I. Send me. Send me. God loves his people, especially when we are obedient. He still loves us if we're not. But I think we should all strive to be better in our obedience to the Lord. And lastly here, friends, a life of hope. Our hope comes from the Lord. Amen? Our hope comes from the Lord. It is written, the word of God is the sword of the Spirit, not only because God uses it, but also because God made it. In all these things, we are more than conquerors because of the love of the one who loves us, Romans 8:37. 1 Colossians 15:57 says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. As believers of Christ, which everyone, I hope, is a believer of Christ. All right, we're going to boldly say it. If you believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, raise your hand. All right, amen. Amen. We got a church full of Christians. That's what we need. Sometimes we need to proclaim that and be bold about it. And if you don't believe it, please, don't feel pressured, even though I made you raise your hand this morning. Let's talk. So we have six things I want you to leave with today. Six. So that's a lot to remember, I know. But for next week, maybe you can remember one. Because I'm going to ask the question, what did I talk about last week? Okay? So this is your heads up. As Christians, we live a life not of the world. We live a life of faith. We live a life of praise. We live a life of service. We live a life of humility, and we live a life of hope. So friends, get in his word. Get in his word the way Jesus knew his word, right? That when the devil comes to combat us, we are prepared for war. We are prepared when that random person on the street is seeking hope and doesn't know where to turn. And you can answer, I know where hope is found. The hope is found in the Lord. Amen. Lord, use these words from your holy gospel to prepare us for this world, to share your love and to live a life for you. Help us live as Christians, as your disciples. In Christ's name, amen.